It's important to us here at Daleville Christian Church that you know and hear what it is that we believe. And we use a statement of faith each week in the worship services, all of them from God's Word. Today's statement of faith is from the letter to the Philippians in the second chapter, the 5th through the 11th verses, where we affirm our faith by saying, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Today's scripture reading from God's Word is from Matthew's Gospel, the 20th chapter, verses 29 through 34. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will help you. I believe that Jesus will help you today if you ask him to. Jesus will help you today. I didn't say that Jesus would solve all your problems today, but I did say that Jesus will help you today. I have a book on my shelf entitled Prayers Jesus Always Answers. One of those prayers is simply, Jesus, help me. And there's a reason that Jesus will help you today. The Lord loves you. One thing mentioned early on in this series on God's love is that God's love is something different than what most people think it is. God's love is not acceptance. The Lord God may take us as we are, where we are, but God doesn't accept us. God actually loves us too much to keep us with him unchanged. The Lord loves us too much to leave us as we are. The Apostle Paul told the whole church that what matters is a new life, a transformed life. And again today, we look at people who don't want to be accepted, they want to be transformed. These men cry out to Jesus to be changed. We want our sight, they said. They want their lives changed. They call upon Jesus to change them and change their situation. That is God's love. Not leaving you the way you are, but transforming you. Funny how our culture has decided that love is accepting you and leaving you that way. Even in the presence of God, are we that happy and pleased with the way things are? Are we that pleased with the way we are? That we in our society call that love? To leave it like it is? The people of the Bible wanted the Messiah to come so the Messiah could change things. Let me say that again because it's one of those obvious, easy truths we so often forget. The people of the Bible wanted the Messiah to come so the Messiah could change things. Well, let's look closer at this report today. Maybe that's part of the trouble. This report's only 6 verses long. It is so easy to overlook, but Jesus did not overlook these men we read about. Let us not overlook them either. These men we read about are blind. Let's talk about blindness for a moment. As a society, we have worked hard to end blindness. We have improved nutrition. We have fought parasites and diseases. We have developed surgical procedures, corrective lenses, so that people can see, even to see a little. We have come a long way. So we forget what blindness meant to the ancient Jews. I could talk to you at length about the common types of blindness in ancient Israel, but we're not a medical school, so I won't do that today. But to me, it is fascinating. What we need to know is how ancient Jews thought about blindness. Blindness usually meant poverty. Few blind people could work. That these blind men mentioned today were sitting in the roadside probably means they were sitting there because they were begging. Luke mentions a blind beggar in his book. But besides being unemployed and impoverished, there were indications that God had struck people with blindness. There are a few incidents in the Bible where people are blinded by God. The most famous example is Saul of Tarsus. But you know, when people don't really know why God does something, they often conclude that God does things because of someone's sin. When people don't really know why God does something, they often conclude that God does things because of someone's sin. The idea that blindness was caused by sin was an idea that was believed even in Jesus' own day. Recall the question of the disciples to Jesus, was this man's sin or was it his parents' sin that he was born blind? Bingo, there it is. There those disciples go, concluding God does things because of sin, when the disciples don't really know why God does the things that God does. So besides being blind in the ancient world, the blind had shame. There was guilt. There was the judgment of neighbors and passersby. Blindness meant guilt. Does it? Do you believe that? Some people still believe that their misdeeds result in disease or affliction. And the worst of that idea? The worst is that it's often the afflicted who are prepared to believe they are afflicted by God. That's the worst part. But along with this common belief that God causes blindness is the opposite idea that only God can cure blindness. And so now we're on to something. These two blind men heard that Jesus was going by and they shouted, "Lord." Notice they called him Lord. Lord, Son of David. Hey, the term Son of David is a special term. To call someone the Son of David is to say that that person is Messiah, the chosen one, the one who is coming to us. And now the prayer of the two men, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd told them to shut up. But years of living as social outcasts, says author David Early, a lifetime of lost hopes and the hope and faith that Messiah was now right in front of them, although they could not physically see him, all of that made these two blind men continue to cry out louder and louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. They asked for mercy. 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 We talked about this. There are two different Greek words. The New Testament was written down originally in Greek, not a classical Greek, but a marketplace Greek, a Greek that would get you around town and allow you to buy and sell. But these two words, sometimes translated mercy, sometimes translated compassion, and here in this report, both words appear. The word mercy here more literally means to render aid. To have mercy is to help someone. And that is what the blind men have asked for. What the men receive from Jesus is the other Greek word. The men receive compassion from Jesus. The word literally refers to your gut. So it usually refers to your innermost feelings. You may have a gut feeling about something. That's what we are told here about Jesus. Jesus has a gut reaction to these men. We moderns tend to talk about the heart as the center of tender emotions. Hebrews, ancient Hebrews didn't think that way. Ancient Hebrews had it in the gut. It really makes sense. That's where you cry, isn't it? Isn't that where you get excited? Don't you have butterflies in your stomach, or do you get them in your heart? Or is it just me? Usually when we ask, do you feel it? We might point to our hearts, but we may really mean our gut. When Jesus was often confronted with human need, his response was compassion, a gut feeling. It is God's goodness that is provoked by our need. The Lord responds out of God's goodness to render aid and to give healing. God has a gut feeling about you, and God's gut feeling is love. Jesus had it. Jesus has a gut feeling for these two men, a love feeling. Jesus would respond to their need out of Jesus' God goodness. We translate it in English as compassion. The English word compassion literally means to suffer with someone. You completely relate to them and their situation. It's love. Compassion is to come to someone at their level, where they live, where they hurt. Jesus has compassion. When we talked about this before, we noted this isn't the only place where we are told Jesus has compassion. Remember Jesus feeding the 5,000. That wasn't a Bible illustration Jesus was doing for the crowd. Jesus wasn't advertising anything or anyone. The Bible tells us that Jesus had compassion on that crowd because they'd come to see him and hear him, and they didn't have any food. Jesus' miracle was not a promotional gimmick. Jesus' miracle wasn't a tax write-off. Jesus had compassion. Here we are told Jesus' own feelings towards the blind men. Jesus touched their eyes and immediately they received their sight. And they followed Jesus. So Jesus loved them. And Jesus is the Messiah who brings sight to the blind. Jesus makes the blind to see, as the prophet said would happen when Jesus showed up, when the Messiah showed up. He would give sight to the blind. I would just have us notice, the men had to call on the Lord more than once. Should we make a big deal out of that? You tell me. That's what the Bible tells us. Does it mean we should not be discouraged in calling on the Lord? You tell me. These two men were being told to stop calling on Jesus. These two men didn't stop. They shouted louder. Have you ever shouted louder at God? They did. The Bible seems to be giving us permission to do just that, doesn't it? Ever call out to the Lord when you may have thought that God put you in the mess you're in and the Lord is punishing you? These two men called out to the Lord even though lots of people thought these two men were being punished by God. I'm going to repeat that statement. These two men called out to the Lord even though lots of people thought these two men were being punished by God. I told you at the beginning of the message that Jesus will help you. I don't know how Jesus will help you. My experience is that often only the person praying really will know how the Lord has answered their prayer. But the point is this. Jesus loves us. The Lord hears our prayer and has compassion on us. Compassion. Now, allow me to raise a philosophical question. These two men asked to be able to see again, and that's what Jesus did for them. In the case of these two men, their need is obvious. Do we always ask the Lord for what we need? Or do we ask the Lord for what we want? And let me further ask, do we always know what we need? Many believe that they know what they need. I just want to ask that question. I just want to question it. I thought I needed to go to a particular seminary. I guess I was wrong because I didn't get into that seminary. I didn't know I was wrong about that for years. For years. I thought I knew better what I needed. So I just raised the question, do we know? Do we know what's best? I should have been praying just to get into any seminary. Lord, help me get in. But I knew God wanted what was best for me, and I assumed I knew it was best I attend that one seminary I wanted. Do we always know what's best? Do we always know what we need? Sometimes the goodness of God is not giving us what we ask for. You know that saying, be careful what you pray for, you might receive it. Well, the other side of that is also true. Blessed are those who do not receive what they have prayed for. I don't know if this has happened to you. It seems to happen to me quite frequently. It isn't so much about prayer, but about my plans and intentions. Always in a hurry, always not where I want to be, wanting to be 5 minutes ahead instead of 5 minutes behind. I was in a hurry in traffic. Everything I did to go faster and get to my destination faster did not work. After I'd resigned myself to just get to my destination later than I wanted, I come upon an automobile accident. One emergency vehicle is there, other emergency vehicles are arriving. If I had been where I wanted to be, I could have been in that accident instead of driving by it. That day again, I didn't get what I wanted, and it was a good thing. What that means is this: not getting what we pray for or ask for may be about God's compassion or about God's goodness. It may be about God's goodness in ways we can't understand. James declared it in his book, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Maybe we don't know how that compassion and mercy translates for us, although we often think we do know. The apostle will declare in more than one place this great love that Jesus has for us. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And I can't help but reaffirm, compassion is not acceptance, and compassion is not endorsement. Often compassion is the opposite of acceptance or endorsement. Compassion more often moves a person to change or work for change. Yes? Jesus does not accept the man's blindness. Jesus is going to change it. Jesus doesn't accept that their blindness is from God. Jesus is going to change it. The Messiah makes the blind to see. Remember to pray one of the most effective prayers in the whole Bible, not asking for something specific, but simply to cry out to the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. Amen.